Good morning. This is Monday morning on April 28th. And this podcast is in English because my guest, Chen Reis, the soprano, and I will be talking about her new album. It is music, Jewish music from Vienna, which just came out by Oinex Classics. Chen Reis is singing songs from Alexander Zemlinsky, Eric Maria Korngold, and Josephine Winter. She recorded this album together with the Jewish Chamber Orchestra Munich and the conductor Daniel Grossman. And we are going to talk about this Jewish environment in Vienna, but as well about the recent situation about musical life for Jewish artists and its difficulties. I'm very grateful that Chen is joining me from Paris, and I say good morning, Chen Reis.
Good morning, Axel. Very happy to speak with you today.
And the situation worldwide is still very difficult. We are facing anti-Semitism everywhere. How are you coping with it personally?
We definitely are going through tough times. I think for everyone in the world, there is a lot of insecurity, instability for everyone, for artists, for musicians of all religions and backgrounds, and especially, I think, for Jews around the world. These are not good times for us. The war in Israel is not over yet. Israeli society is still struggling within itself as well, has a lot of political challenges and upheaval. We are far from solving the problems with the Palestinians and the problems inside the Israeli society. But also, unfortunately, Jews around the world are experiencing a huge surge in anti-Semitism. Everywhere, I think, really, everybody I speak with, we think, okay, where are we going to run away this time, right? Because all of us
are... That's what you've said last time already,
all of us are, I mean, I'm sort of third generation. Yeah, my grandparents had to flee Europe in 1939. So the Holocaust is still very, very much present in our lives. Actually, I mean, all the books I've been reading in the past year and a half were somehow stories from World War II. All the movies that I've seen. But this time we really don't know where we are going to go. And even Germany, which I felt used to be in the past, let's say, 70 years safe for Jews, I'm afraid to say, Axel, that I cannot say it now.
Absolutely. And I mean, your CD and your recording now shows that it is a leitmotif of Jewish history. But how does that actual situation affect your life as an artist? Do you feel that as well? Or is the world of arts a paradise where everything is different and where all the people are nice and where we see each other as humanistic people and one world? Or does it affect you as an artist as well?
Well, a lot of the people that I work with are very open-minded and they don't accuse me of anything. They don't judge me of anything. Some are pro-Israel. Some obviously are not. I get comments from both sides. What worries me a little bit is some of the presenters actually are cautious about programming a Jewish program. That I have to say that.
Because they fear demonstrations, they fear outrage of the audience or in their town or in their local situation?
Exactly. I've had some presenters who were courageous enough to tell me the truth in my face, because a lot of people in our profession don't always are transparent and direct, which, I mean, I respect. I mean, coming from Israel, we are very direct people, but I understand that there are different mentalities in different countries. But there were some who I guess feel close enough to me and who told me, listen, we think that your project, Jewish Vienna, is a fabulous project and we love it. But given the political, let's say, environment at the moment, we we would invite you to sing something else, let's say that. Yeah. And I have to admit that it was very hard for me to hear it, because the CD Jewish Vienna has absolutely nothing to do with Israel. Mm. All the pieces on this CD were recorded before the declaration of the State of Israel in 1948. Most of the composers, only Korngold, mm-hmm. lived until 1957. Mm-hmm. All the other composers on the CD even died before before the State of Israel was declared. So this CD is not Israeli music. It is, and you know, you can also argue, is it Jewish music?
If you read the booklet already, you see there was this one sun in the center of Jewish cultural life in Vienna, which of course was Gustav Mahler. And around mm-hmm. him, it was Semlinsky. It was Josephine Winter. We will be talking about her. Alfred Grünfeld. What was the idea to do the CD? And yes, is it really Jewish music you are singing there? Or is it music from Vienna composed by Jews?
This, I would say, is the answer. Mm-hmm. But it also shows that it is European music. The CD is, it's European music. And Vienna at that time, at the, let's say, the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, was a city like no other city in the world. It was, from art point of view, from an intellectual point of view, from a music point of view, it was really a center, a magnet. Mm. All the great minds of the time and all the great artists of the time were in Vienna. And I think that they sort of cross-pollinated each other also. You know, if you look at the art and the music and the ideas of Freud, it's they all knew each other. And this is Vienna even today, I feel, is one of the only cities in the world where everything happened in a salon. It's small, you know, between the Musikverein, the opera, and the Belvedere, yeah. You can walk.
Yeah, it's so, 500 meters, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So in a way, the idea was to record a CD of composers who knew each other very well. We can talk about the relationships that they had with each other, who influenced each other. And yes, they all came from Jewish background, different backgrounds. We can also talk about it, because yes. Mahler, yes. who was, you know, he had to convert. So that was the idea. So I wouldn't say that is Jewish music, but it's music by Jewish composers. Now, there are, of course, I think in the music of Mahler, even though he converted, I think there are Jewish elements in his
definitely
music.
There are.
Yeah. But I think there are even more European elements in his music. It comes from the tradition of European music and Jews, because Jews completely, at that time, Jews completely assimilated in the society, completely. They were part of the Viennese society.
We of course hear lots of the spirit of the time in the midst of Mahler, and there we see that his life, as well his life as a Jew, was not as easy as one could think, as you explained it right now. There was already a time of extremes. There was a time of extreme pressure. There was extreme pressure, anti-Semitic pressure in the press, and which led in the end, of course, to the fact that Mahler had to leave. But what I find interesting is you as well sing songs by Semlinsky. And if I read it correctly, I didn't even know that in your program book, is that Semlinsky's mother, who was born in Sarajevo, is the daughter of a Muslima and a Sephardic Jew, and that his father comes from a Catholic background. So it really is an absolute melting pot of religions, which has met in this international town of Vienna at that time, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's very interesting about Semlinsky, because according to Orthodox Jews, like if he had to immigrate to Israel today, he would have a problem, because the Orthodox Jews wouldn't consider him Jewish,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
And the fascists would have seen him as proper Jew. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, which is another aspect of this CD, who is judging us, who is labeling us, Who is labeling our music? And this is something that we also need to think about today, because it is going on today. People are still being labeled as this, that, or the other, and they put us all in the same mix. But actually, each one had his own story. And Zemlinsky grew up in a very sort of multicultural and multi-religion home.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his music you are singing is called Die heiteren Walzergesänge, so the joyful waltz songs, which is, again, far away from religion. It's just a Viennese kind of mood, actually, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So more than any other piece on this CD, he is definitely, his waltzer are Viennese. Mm-hmm. And I think Zemlinsky also felt himself Viennese, because, you know, we carry different identities. Mm-hmm. I carry different identities. I'm sure that you as well. And it's very interesting to see how Mahler, you know, of course, speaks about his identities and Zemlinsky. My feeling with Zemlinsky, of course, I never met him, but my feeling is that his identity as a Viennese composer, as an Austrian composer, was stronger than his identity as a Jew. Mm-hmm. A lot of the Jews of the time were not religious Jews. They were very much modern Jews. And they felt themselves more than anything. I think they saw music as their religion, as their biggest passion.
Yes.
And not Judaism.
We see it in the beginning even of Schönberg or something like that, no? who just rediscovered his Jewishness under pressure. Huh?
Yes. And I really think that if not World War II, if not the Holocaust, if not the fact that Hitler made the Jews a different part of society, I think that the Viennese Jews would have completely assimilated. I don't know if we would have even Jews in Vienna anymore today, because there were a lot of intermarriages. You know, it is this war, World War II, really change the not only the geographic map of Europe for generations to come, and in a way, I'm not sure that the Jews would have ever received a country had the Holocaust not happened.
But still, I am in Leopoldstadt, which is the second Bezirk in Vienna, and I mean, there is no house in the whole district where there is not a little stone in front that a Jew has been living here, or Jewish family, or more Jewish family, who have been deported, who have been killed in the end. So we see that there was a focus on this district, and there was, of course, something like a Jewish community. Do you think this played a role as well?
I'm sure it did. I'm sure that it did, because even today, you know, when I meet people, you know, I have interactions with them, and when I hear that they're Jews, sometimes I don't even know that they are, but when I hear that they're Jews, I don't know, something in my heart, I feel immediately some kind of affinity. Okay, we are brothers. Maybe because we are so little in the world. We really are a minority. I know very often people don't see us as a minority, and we certainly don't get privileges that other minorities get, but we are really a minority. We are there
share the same history. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, so in that sense, and Leopoldstadt, I'm jealous that you are there now, because every time I walk through Leopoldstadt, I feel that. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this CD, because I have such a strong connection with Vienna. I lived there for so many years, and I'm aware of the history of the good parts of history, but also of the very, very sad and difficult parts of history. Because once Austria, you know, after the Anschluss, after 1938, and as we know, there were a lot of people in Austria who collaborated with the Nazis. Yes, not everybody were against them, but a lot collaborated. Then, you know, neighbors turned their back to the Jews, or, you know, they didn't help them. On the contrary, they were happy
even
to
worse,
see their
waited,
Jewish friends
for their flats to be free. Yeah,
exactly.
This is how horrible it was.
So it was, and on Korngold, for example, the composer Korngold, who is featured on this CD with 8 beautiful Shakespeare songs.
Really beautiful Shakespeare songs, one has to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was also it was a discovery for me, which I'm grateful to Daniel Grossman, the conductor of the CD and the Jewish Chamber Orchestra Munich, because Daniel introduced me to these songs. I didn't know them. I sang before Korngold Opus 9, his Einfache Lieder, which are fantastic, and I sang them also in Vienna at the Musikverein. But I didn't know the Shakespeare songs, and Daniel just called me one day and he said, "You have to sing these songs. I'm sending you the music. Mm-hmm. We are recording them." You know, it was his idea to do this everything, and then we expanded and we thought about, okay, what can we put with it? But if you look at Korngold, his life completely changed when the Nazis took over Vienna. And the interesting thing is that he started to write those cycles, the Shakespeare songs, while he was in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And he finished them in
He started
California.
In 1937, I think.
Huh? Yes.
And he finished them in 1941, yeah.
Exactly. So it's interesting to see he had to immigrate, he had to flee. He had to flee Vienna and to go to America, thankfully, otherwise he would have finished in a concentration camp. And his life changed because then he started to, he was forced to start to compose film music.
This is the whole interesting thing, isn't it? Yeah. By us idiots deporting or threatening the Jews, there was a whole tradition which ended. And basically we just didn't kill the Jews, but we killed a whole avant-garde tradition of music, and nobody knows where it would have gone if it had stayed in Vienna, where it would have developed, right?
Yeah, I often ask myself these questions, how many great minds we have lost in the Holocaust, how many, you know, great musicians, artists, intellectuals, scientists, where would the world be had these people be alive? Where would Europe be?
Where would music be if Korngold could have composed as he wanted and not as he had to do it in the States? Because the tradition there is clear as well, and I find it interesting that you make it clear in your album as well, because we talked about Zemlinsky already. He won a piano in a competition which he gave to Julius Korngold, who was a music critic at that time in Vienna, and the father of Erich Korngold, the composer. And so actually Korngold learned music on a piano which he got from Zemlinsky. And I think this is interesting because there you see there is a tradition, whether it is Jewish or just a musical tradition, doesn't matter at this point, but there is a tradition which was then, as you said, completely interrupted and destroyed and murdered by all these Jewish composers who had to go to exile or who were killed.
Yes, exactly. It's really very, very unfortunate. And you're right, Zemlinsky and Mahler, they both played an important role in the musical development of Korngold. Korngold studied with Zemlinsky. Also, Alma Mahler studied with Zemlinsky. Zemlinsky was a great teacher, and Zemlinsky wrote orchestration for an early opera by Korngold.
Alma Mahler didn't just study with Zemlinsky. I think she kissed with Zemlinsky as well, didn't she?
Alma and Zemlinsky had a completely different story, and I believe. Alma herself wrote also very, very interesting and very sensual Lieder, which I think were very much influenced by the teaching of Zemlinsky. And this is another connection between Mahler and Zemlinsky, which though they started as colleagues, as who supported each other, and you know, Mahler conducted Zemlinsky's music, and I'm sure that their relationship really changed once, you know, this, how do you say, love triangle just couldn't last. And Yeah, but this is another aspect of Vienna, you know, which is an interesting aspect that that you see that these composers were very passionate men and women.
Yeah, it's not Jewish life, it's love life as well, which connects them, right?
Yes, it's love life. Yeah. It's also interesting to see the comments of Alma, because Alma was an anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. She married two Jewish, also Werfel and Mahler. But in her diaries, many times there are really anti-Semitic comments about Zemlinsky, about Mahler, and it's really interesting that after all she married them. So I think she was a very complicated person.
And if you're in Vienna at the Volksoper at Vienna, there's a new opera composed which is called Alma, and which shows her relationships on the one hand, but as well her role in the Third Reich, which is completely different and which is not understandable up to today. As you said, we stopped with the emigration of Korngold. There were other Jewish composers who were not able to go to exile. One of them is Josephine Winter. She was a woman, obviously, and she was killed in 1943. I think it was in Theresienstadt, if I remember right.
Yes.
Who was this woman, Josephine Winter?
So again, my great appreciation to Daniel Grossman, who found this gorgeous lead. I mean, I was in tears when I first started to learn it. And she has composed very little there is very little music left from her compositions. Mm-hmm. Maybe she composed more, but of course, because she died so in the camps, we don't know much about what's left. And but I think you can see from this lead that she was very talented. As a lot of women of that time, she was not encouraged to compose. So for many years, she had to really struggle to get her voice sound and heard. And she also knew Mahler. She and her husband, she was married to a doctor. They knew Gustav Mahler. They even went to Munich to hear a recording of his Eighth Symphony. Joseph Breuer, exactly, that's his name. So she was really involved in the musical life in Vienna. Mm-hmm. And Daniel found just a few lieder by her. Mm-hmm. This one was the best one. I wanted really to include a Jewish female composer of the time. But also it had to be a good music, because I don't just want to record music by female composers for the sake of them being female. I want to record good music, because I think we don't do women any service if we just promote them.
No, definitely not.
But
but it's a double problem with her, isn't it? Once she had difficulties because she was a woman. On the other hand, as we said, she has been killed much too early, so we couldn't even see where her composition would have gone, you know?
Exactly. And I think it would have gone, in my opinion, she could have written an opera. That's really heartbreaking that we don't have a lot of music left from this woman, but I really intend in all my recitals to include this lead, so that her name is not forgotten. And this is another thing that we should say, that even composers like Schrecker, for example, who is not on this CD, but I recorded other music of Schrecker, and I really really love his music. He was Jewish, half Jewish, but it was enough for the Nazis to fire him from his position in Berlin at the Hochschule, as the leiter of the university, which he never recovered from that shock, and he died way too early. His operas at that time, at the beginning of the 20th century, were played as often as the operas of Richard Strauss.
Yeah.
He was as famous as Richard Strauss. By 1945, he was completely forgotten, because all of his music was banned during the war by the Nazis. Mm-hmm. So And it took a lot of time before his music again now is, you know, there is kind of a renaissance, people discovering it. But he's never, ever going to be as popular as Richard Strauss. And in my opinion, his music is just as good. So, you know, this war and the Nazis, the Third Reich, has really influenced the course of development of classical music for generations to come, unfortunately.
If I listen to your album and see the time we are living in, there are so many similarities to what has happened and what mankind did wrong and what mistakes we have done. And it seems, especially in the mirror of this music, that we haven't learned anything. Isn't it a little depressing as well?
Yes, it is depressing. And look, melancholy and depression are also an aspect of Vienna. So in that sense, and nostalgia, yes, you know, we always in Vienna, one of the things I learned living in Vienna is that the Viennese always say, the director before was better, the times before were better, the singers before were better, everything before was better. So, well, some things were better before, but some things are better now. And I think that there are still, even in our dark times, there are still a lot of things to celebrate and to look positive at in the future, but also to remember that we have responsibility. We have responsibility for our children to educate them. And this is where I fear that, unfortunately, and we can talk a whole session about it, social media has made social media, and now maybe even AI, is making people very misinformed. And you know, we need to teach our children to think in a critical way, to check the sources of information, and so that so that tragedies like in the Second World War don't happen again. And this CD, I hope, will remind people how worth and how much the Jewish composers and the Jewish people contributed to European society, and so that they don't send us away from Europe again, but embrace what we can give Europe.
And if we see that times were better, then we always have the chance to make them better again. But it is in our hands to make it better. And perhaps that brings us to the beginning of our conversation, Ren, when you said it is difficult to perform Jewish programs nowadays. What do we do against it? I mean, we have to talk about it. We have to make it public. We have to address this problem. But is there anything you can do? Are you fighting by convincing organizers to organize concerts with Jewish music, with explicit Jewish programs? What is your strategy there?
Absolutely. I feel that as, you know, as a successful singer from Israel, I'm in the position to offer that to presenters. And a lot of them are actually cooperating. And a lot of them, actually, I have to say that especially in Germany, are aware of what's going on and they are embracing such programs, and sometimes they need just a little bit of mut, of courage. So, you know, we give it to them and we say you know, we encourage them to do it, and some of them are convinced, and I think the fact that the CD is out and hopefully is going to get a lot of positive attention, and I have to say that the press is very interested in this topic, because they see it, I guess, relevant. And above all, we keep telling presenters that we bring very high quality. So at the end of the day, what we are selling is high quality product, and the audience appreciates it. And anyway, the audience that comes to hear classical music is not the audience, are not these people who are protesting, pro-Hamas protesters in the streets. It's a completely different audience. You ask me, what can we do? What can we do as journalists? What can we do as musicians? What can we do as artists? Is to educate, to try to reach out to the younger generation and to and to tell them the stories, tell them what happened, and tell them what's happening today. And I'm not saying that we need to present things from an Israeli point of view or from a Palestinian point of view, not at all. To present it from a humanitarian point of view.
Absolutely.
That is the way, and to create dialogue. But we have to educate the young generation, because the problem is this generation. The problem is the people between, you know, 18 and 30 that, you know, unfortunately get their information from social media, which is controlled by often by evil forces, and not necessarily by the truth. And that's where we come in. And this is why I'm grateful to you for inviting me to talk about it, and for continuing to write your newsletters and fighting for the artists.
For the art,
for the arts, yes.
And I just can tell, encourage all of you out there as well, stay courageous, be courageous, and yeah, it's in our hand to make the world better, the world to come. Chen, you will be on tour, or you will be seen in the next season with Korngold songs, with Schreker, with Mahler all over the world. You will sing all the other things as well. Thank you very much for all this inspiration you gave us with your new recording. Of course, we put you the link in our show notes. You have to listen to this music. I wish you lots of luck with your new recording, and say thank you very much.
Thank you.
This was Chen Reis, the soprano, about her new album Jewish Vienna, where she sings songs, for example, from Alexander Zemlinsky, from Erich Wolfgang Korngold, or Josephine Winter. I hope you have something to discuss for today. Discuss it with your friends or with your colleagues. For daily news on classical music, join us on www.backstageclassical.com. Subscribe our newsletter or subscribe on our podcast not to miss any of the new volumes. Have a nice day, and hear you soon.